Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Welcome back to part two of my Father's Day bonus episode with Peter Vasilis from Orient Organics Farm. Thanks for listening.
How about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in your climate?
Avocados. Oh. I'm just kidding. You grow avocados in Montana?
I don't think so. Well, we
have pineapples?
No, definitely not. We have not. I've not got an avocado tree growing in Montana. My mom has an avocado plant, I think, in New York, right where you are on Long Island, but she keeps it indoors, I think.
Right. Well, that's one of my jokes at the market. People ask me, "Do you have any avocados?" I said, "Yeah, I got them from the supermarket." I actually can't grow them here. Oh no. I guess they just don't realize it. They don't grow here.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you can grow anything you want as long as you read it, you know, figure out what it needs. I mean, what's hard to grow? Some things grow better in other places. But, I don't know. I can't think of anything that...
Okay. Cool.
I mean, of course, onions, they grow well here, but they grow better in other places. You know, in warmer climates, some onions. I grow okra, too, and that's pretty easy to grow. There's no diseases. Bugs don't bother it.
Really? Okay.
I can't think of much. I don't know.
Lots of people really rave about okra, too. It sounds like I've had a few guests on that say that's their favorite food to eat in the garden. They really like to just fry it in a little... saute it in just a little olive oil and say okra is just delicious. Or even, I think I had one guest on who said her and her husband just eat it raw.
Yeah, I eat it raw.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, you can eat it raw, cooked. Mm-hmm. When they're tender, I mean, they have a nice texture. They're not slimy when they're raw.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a key that they said a lot, is that they have to be tender and fresh.
Yeah, sure, but even big ones can be tender as long as they're growing fast.
Okay.
You know, in the warm weather, you can get a big okra that's really tender.
No.
But later on, when they're big, they're like, you know, they're like cardboard. You can't even eat them.
Oh, all right.
Okra, we grow watermelons, okra. Melons are a little more challenging.
Okay.
Well, watermelons seem to grow well where I am on Long Island. Even though it's cool up here, we still seem to do well on watermelons. But melons die off with mildew. I don't really take care of them. You know, as far as like spraying them with something for mildew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, you know, it's on the organic list.
Okay.
Anyway, so what else is going on here?
How about your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something that you have to force yourself to get out there and do?
No, I like to do everything, but not too much of one thing. In other words, if you having a big field of carrots or, you know, something like, or onions, it's a daunting task if the weeds get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to keep ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, mulch them. First you weed them, then you mulch them, and sometimes you can just plant through the mulch. But I guess what I don't like doing is irrigating.
Mm-hmm.
because you have to irrigate so much, and it takes a long time. So you have to set up, you know, I use drip irrigation.
Okay. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So until that, when it's all set up, then it's great. But it seems to be just like another job that you have to do. And, you know, if you do it right away, it rains a lot. So... And then you have to use it.
That's always good for us. We're always praying for rain, it seems like, at my house. Montana's kind of a drier climate, and so we're always, anything we can do to make it rain is always a bonus, we find, at our house. So you have to, you know, water to make it rain.
And you're in Montana?
Really good at that. Yep, yep.
Oh, yeah, do you have a car wash?
Yeah.
But if you go to the car wash and wash your car, right, it's going to rain.
Yes, we try it, and I try to hang my laundry out on the line too. So, and actually, in Montana, we have a saying: if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes; it'll change.
Well, that's the definition of weather, isn't it? It's always changing. It's dynamic.
Yeah.
Climate is.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing, you know.
Mm-hmm. But we're having a really dry year this year. I mean, it has been. Like, it got warm, it seemed like the snow melted in February, like, March, people were ready to plant, like, everything had thawed, there was no ice, like, everything. And now, like, for it to be June, like, the woods are really dried out, it's been windy, like, this has got to be one of the windiest years I've ever seen since I've been here for almost 25 years now, and just... the wildfire, you know, we're worried about wildfires.
Where are you in Montana?
We're up in the northwest corner by the Canadian border and on the edge of
what's
Idaho.
The name of...
I'm in Eureka. We're just just west of Glacier National Park.
Right, yeah. Yeah, nice place.
Yep. It's beautiful.
I've been there. It's...
You have? Oh, cool.
Yep.
Well, how about your favorite activity to do in the garden, Peter? What do you love to get out there and do?
Love? Yeah, I like it all. I mean, but, it gets tiring to do everything all the time, so sometimes some things are better than others. I like watching the stuff grow. That's my favorite activity.
Okay, I like that. How about a favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you that you couldn't live without, what would that be?
Oh, my telephone.
Your telephone?
Yeah. So I can call up people to do the weeding for me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to say. If you had to have only one tool,
mm-hmm.
It's just a hoe.
Okay. I picked the wheelbarrow myself. I decided, and my first reaction was a shovel when I came up with this question, and then I decided that my answer was the wheelbarrow. I didn't want to live without a wheel, but I think that's partly because we got a flat 1 year, and like, it just kept going flat. I couldn't get it repaired, and we had to live like 2 years without a wheelbarrow, or just, you know, every time you'd go to get it, you'd have to blow it up with the...
Well, I can just say, I want one of my crackers, that's all. It'll be attached, but that's probably more than one tool.
Right? And which attachment?
My rototiller with a tractor, is that one tool?
Sure. Yep. Is that what you would pick then?
Sure.
Yeah, I had another one of my very first guests picked his tractor too. So what kind of tractor is it? Is it a new one or an old one? Like, he had one that was, I don't know, I just remember him saying they didn't make them after 1980. So his was pretty old.
Yeah. Well, I have a Ford Diesel. 4,000, and then I have a little tiny Kubota that's the one I would take.
Okay.
Very versatile. And then I have an old 1958 N Ford, which I don't use much anymore. And then I have some lawnmowers and all the attachments to the tractors and fertilizers, seeders, everything. You know, most of it's old. Except for the Kubota, that's only 5 years old.
Okay. But you like that little guy, huh?
Yeah, I like them all. Okay. But if I had to take one, I would just take the little guy.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yep, my husband wants a tractor. We've been wanting to buy a tractor for a long time. So one of these years. How about, got any secrets for preserving food or making it last?
No, I don't do much of that. Well, I mean, sometimes you dehydrate a few things. I leave that to my son-in-law and my wife. You know, sometimes she does the tomatoes. You know, she makes sauce and then freezes it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then you depend on electricity, but your freezer doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep onions all year. I mean, I'm still eating onions that I grew last year.
Now, where do you keep them? Do you have a root cellar?
No, I just keep them in the garage. It's cold enough, or in the basement. Sweet potatoes, we're still eating them from last year.
Oh, you grow sweet potatoes?
Yep, they're easy.
Oh.
I don't know if you can grow them there, but you might be able to.
How about some tips for growing sweet potatoes? I so want to grow sweet potatoes. I love sweet potatoes and yams.
Yeah, well, I'll just order some sweet potatoes from a grower, and then you plant, it looks like a little stem of a plant, and you put it in, and I don't know if it's too cold up there, but they grow, and you'll get them. Try it out, you know.
So they're not, you don't cut like a potato, like a regular, like a white potato and with the eyes and stuff? You don't do it that way?
You could do it that way too, because I see them growing from their eyes, but the way we do it is you use slips. They call them slips.
Slips, like with a P, or slits, like with a T?
Yeah, slips.
Okay.
And it's actually just a stem of a plant, and it starts to develop leaves on it.
Okay. How about tips for eating or harvesting vegetables or fruit on time? Like, that's one of my biggest problems, is that, like, my lettuce, I'll go down and I don't even like pull the whole heads. I just pull like the leaves off the outside, but it just seems like I'll go down and get like two giant baskets of lettuce, you know, every couple of days in the summer. And it's just, you know, there's just me here. But if I try to take it somewhere, it seems like it gets soggy, or I don't know. So any tips for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you probably have too much lettuce. I mean, you can't eat it all. I just cut lettuce right off the whole head. And you start picking it before you think you're going to need it, because all of a sudden you'll end up with too much. Lettuce, you just have to keep replanting, you know, one crop after the other, every 2 weeks.
Every two weeks?
Or as often as you think you're going to, depending on how fast it grows and matures and then starts to rot. So you'll grow some lettuce, but while you're eating it, you're growing other lettuce. You know, you have a succession.
Oh, okay.
Tips for eating it, I don't know, chew.
All right, how about any special techniques? Like, do you grow any weird or unusual foods? Anything, like, just bizarre that you grow there?
Well, it's not really bizarre once you eat it and like it.
Okay.
So, I mean, some people might think it's bizarre, or that's just because they just don't know. I mean, I have, you know what purslane is?
Mm-hmm.
It grows wild on my farm.
Oh, okay. So then what do you...
I actually sell it, and I eat it. I eat it raw, and I juice with it.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Sure. It's got a little lemony taste. That's even a crop that I do grow indirectly, but it comes up by itself. I don't seed it, but I just allow it to grow as a weed. But it's not really a weed, because it's, you know, it's a crop.
Nice. So, I like that.
That people don't know about. And then I grow dandelion greens.
Two kinds.
One's the real kind with the yellow flower, and the other one is actually a chicory, which they call Italian dandelion. And that grows well. You could grow that up by you.
Okay. We might try that. And I was just listening to the interview with Alethea this morning to kind of refresh my memory, and she was talking about that, and I was thinking, because we just got bees this year, honeybees, and I know, like, when we first got them, the only thing that was growing in our yard were dandelions, and so we were kind of worried, was that going to be enough for them, and were they going to... And so I was listening to that this morning, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder if we should try to find some of that dandelion she was talking about that's kind of like a chicory. And then do you like plant that in an actual like a row and everything?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
The variety is called Catalogna. Catalogna. That's called Italian dandelion.
Uh-huh.
I think Zani Seeds has it, or High Mowing Seeds might have it.
Okay.
It's the yellow flower, and you know, when it comes to puffball, you can seed with that, and then actually put that in a row, and then you cut it, and then like a few weeks later, it starts to grow again. As long as you don't cut the root out.
Uh-huh.
As long as there's some root in the ground, it just starts to set up leaves again. I've got the same dandelion now, like, for a month.
Really?
And now it's regrowing, I'm going to cut it again. So it's free seed.
I like
actually,
that.
I always tell people that when I'm trying to explain to them about how chemicals are really probably not the best thing for you, and they're actually worse for a homeowner to use because they tend to get more on them.
Oh.
But dandelions are like, I say, oh, your dandelions will probably end up killing a lot of people or are responsible for a lot of people getting sick. Because what's been created by advertising is this myth or this feeling that dandelions are like the enemy or like they're you shouldn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all done by advertising, and that we have to get rid of them. And what gets rid of them is a chemical, like 2,4-D. Oh, we'll get rid of your dandelions.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you're getting rid of a food source. And it's a pretty flower, and they don't pose any threat to anything in, or anybody in any way. And meanwhile, people are poisoning themselves by trying to get rid of the very thing they could be eating to make themselves healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, dandelions are really nutritious, right? The leaves?
They are. The yellow flowered ones are even more nutritious than the Italian dandelion, which is really a chicory.
Do you want to explain what a chicory is in case listeners don't know?
Well, it's just another variety of plant, that's all.
Okay.
It's just a leafy green.
Mm-hmm.
It actually grows wild in a lot of places.
Okay. I remember, I mean, I grew up eating chicory in salads when I was a kid. My mom always had that.
Yeah.
So
there's probably different kinds of chicories. I'm not sure of the exact meaning of the word chicory, if it's a name or
mm-hmm.
or if it's a variety or
but another kind of salad green, something else to put in your salad, which I always think is nice to have variety. And probably a lot of people are getting it now in that spring mix that everybody buys anyway. It's probably right in there and people don't even realize that's what they're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but anyway, so that's why weeds are dangerous, because people think they have to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Your lawn, and anyone can have a beautiful lawn, just keep it green, you know, mow it. But actually now, like in California, green lawn is a sign that you're wasting water, right?
Right. And
so,
I think they're kind of limiting how much you can water your lawn in California. But I did have a guest on who talked a lot about growing in a drought, and he said that like the biggest mistake they're making in California is then people are just ripping out their lawns and putting concrete and stuff in place. And he didn't think that was the best thing to do, because he said then their shade trees are dying, and that's actually creating even a worse effect in that if they would just kind of let their lawn go brown for part of the season, you know, it will come back green in the fall or in the spring. And the best thing is just, you know, let it grow, either use like some native grasses in place of it, or, you know, plant some other things instead of a specific lawn. But he thought ripping it out was very reactionary, instead of there's some proactive, you know, water-wise techniques that people could use. So hopefully the Californians will get on being proactive.
Well, you're not supposed to water your lawn too much anyway, because you won't develop roots that sustain a drought.
Right.
So you have to let the water, the lawn dry out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the roots seek water,
mm-hmm.
get a better root system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's always wet, the roots are going to stay shallow, and then if you really have a drought, your lawn will die.
Excellent. So that's a great point, Peter. I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's what a lot of it comes from.
And all lawn chemicals make the lawns more water dependent.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that same thing as you said that.
I can tell every lawn that that's fed with chemicals.
Really?
Sure.
So you can just walk down the block and tell who's using chemicals and who's not?
Oh, yeah. Well, usually there's a yellow sign on the lawn. No, I'm just, besides right? that, you can tell as long as when they apply like a weed killer or even an insecticide, it gets stressed. Mm-hmm. And you have a period where they don't water enough or their sprinkler doesn't have a full coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You can see like where it will brown out as opposed to the lawn that is never treated with any chemicals or even conventional fertilizer.
Yep.
Those lawns are more water dependent.
That's a great point. And my mom always, like, she goes to walk her dogs and her neighbors will have, like, those little tiny orange flags on their, you know, the grass between the sidewalk and the street or on their lawn that she's got to make sure her little dog doesn't, you know, walk on somebody who's just had chemicals sprayed within the last couple of days. And she just, you know, to me, that's a sign right there. If you have to put a flag up that says, don't walk on this lawn.
They're getting back to the dogs, actually, my cousin wrote a book, which I gave him some information for, about dogs and chemicals. Actually, the book is called Tuckus Promise, T-U-K-K-A-S, Promise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about why dogs in the U.S. die young.
Oh.
Same breed will die younger in the U.S. than it will in other countries. And he makes a really good case for everything. And of course, one of the things is what they eat, and their breeding, and the toys they play with, and one whole chapter is devoted to like lawn chemicals and chemicals that the dogs actually ingest. And he mentions all these lawn chemicals that people are using as one reason that dogs in the U.S. might die younger.
Wow.
You know, he offers a lot of information in the book. It's a really good book.
All right, I'm going to have to get that.
Yeah, very informative. And he'll mention that chemical 2,4-D in it also.
Okay. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden or have somebody cook for you? Got a favorite recipe from out of the...
Just raw. Tomato sauce.
Okay.
Oh, my wife makes tomato sauce.
Okay.
It's like the sauce going, you know. Nothing added to it. We even what do you add to it?
Onions, garlic.
Oh, yeah, onions, garlic. I grow a lot of garlic, too, so.
I was going to ask you about that, if the garlic was having the same problem as the onions. Are they separate? We don't actually grow onions or garlic at my house, but so do they grow separately? Like, are you having the same problem with the garlic as you're having with the onions?
No. No. Garlic is planted from a bulb, usually.
Mm-hmm. And where are onions planted from?
I plant the garlic bulbs in November here.
Uh-huh.
And they winter over, and they start coming up whenever they're ready,
mm-hmm.
whenever the weather permits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ready to pick, like, around the first week of July, around here.
Okay.
But we also take the garlic skates, which are the seed pods,
uh-huh.
and they taste just like garlic. We cut them off. That makes the bulb grow bigger. You know, it's like a gelding on a horse. You know, if they cut part of the gelding off, the horse gets big. Same with the garlic. Otherwise, your head will be smaller.
Oh. I didn't know that.
We eat the skates, and the garlic gets picked, and then we dry it, and then it gets for maybe 8 months.
So then how do you plant the onions? Do the onions not come in bulbs?
Some onions come in bulbs. They're called sets. And sometimes I grow some, and I think I might grow more in sets because they're more dependable. The plants... other times you grow plants, and when I grow them myself, they work much better because they don't have to be picked and stored and shipped. I grow them in flats, but they don't hold the soil very well, so they tend to go into shock for a while. And And they grow from sets, they're more dependable, but,
okay.
You know, I guess they're, every year is different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The people that send me the onion plants, they're not always as good as they were the year before, or sometimes they're better, but sometimes they're worse. And they usually grow from seeds. I direct seed onions in August. The beginning of August.
Really?
A variety called Walla Walla.
Uh-huh.
And that winter's over.
Oh.
And in the spring, I have had onions, like 2.5 pound onions.
Oh.
One.
Wow.
Yeah. This variety is developed, I think, in Walla Walla, Washington.
Right, exactly.
And they're very sweet onions. They spoil fast, but they're really crunchy and delicious.
Yeah, very mild onions are pretty well known around here.
Yeah, yeah. So I grow them in New York, and the same problems that we have are the weed problems. So if you don't take care of it, you get a lot of weeds. And this year I didn't take care of it, and my onion crop suffered for that too. But those winter are over, and those are hardy once they're growing.
Okay.
In other words, they don't get transplanted.
Oh, okay.
Because they just direct seed, you just thin them out. And you can transplant the ones you thin out, too. So, there you go for onions.
How about a favorite reading material or a book or a magazine or something that you can recommend to listeners? Got a favorite reading material?
I haven't had time to do much reading. I just read on the run kind of stuff, magazines.
Okay.
I don't get any magazines right now, but I read publications. There's a book with, plant diseases in it and stuff and pictures. So I read that, and, you go online and you look for stuff and you read the seed catalogs, and then you get all kinds of bulletins from seed companies and tips, and they have a lot of, they explain a lot of diseases and how they, the product, of course, they're just trying to sell their products, but what works for certain things. So, and then I talk to a lot of people, and I'll get a lot of my information that way. I always have. I seem to, fall asleep at the wheel when I'm reading.
Okay, but I like that talking to people, because I think it's important for listeners to not be afraid to talk to their neighbor, or talk to different people and learn and talk to other gardeners, like gardeners at the farmer's market. So now,
yeah, because you get to see what their experience is, if it really worked for them.
Exactly. That's the whole point of the podcast, is to share people's experiences and what works with them.
Yeah, we have flea beetles around here.
Uh-huh.
And they attack, kale. And they attack brassicas a lot and some other things. And so some guy that's selling products to me said, why don't you try this crab and lobster shell mix, crushed shells?
Really?
I bought a bag, a 50-pound bag, and I put it, and it seemed to really help. But then I talked to some other guys that use it, and other people didn't have the success I did, but others did. So maybe they weren't using it the same way, but I found that it seems to work.
Now, brassicas are like broccolis and cauliflowers, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and just in case listeners.
All kinds of kale.
Okay. Okay, cool. So crab and lobster shell mix for that. Excellent. How about now, where do you sell the majority of your produce? Do you go to farmers markets, or do you go to stores, or you said you don't do the CSA model, so then where are you?
Well, I sell it every Saturday at a market. I mentioned that there's a two farmers, me and another farmer.
Okay.
And we're both organic, and we sell at the same market. People really love it. And, I sell a lot of it there, and then I sell anything extra to Whole Foods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been selling to them for like 10 years.
Wow.
I don't sell them much, but most of the time we've developed a relationship where, you know, the right produce manager at the stores.
Okay.
You know, we develop a business together. Like they want my stuff. It's not the same at every Whole Foods, but when you develop that, it works. And so I have an account there. I can just call them up and tell them I got this and this. And they say, all right, bring me some. And then I go to two or three other health food stores, which I sell to, and I have about four or five restaurants.
Okay.
That I deal with. And they'll actually alter their menu sometimes. So I tell them, I got all this butternut squash. And they'll say, okay, we'll put it on the menu. Bring me, a case. So that's what I sell to. And I do, if someone wants stuff, I tell them, come on over. And we'll sell it to you, People know me around town,
So
that's how I sell everything.
If listeners are thinking about trying to sell their extra produce, because that's something I've struggled with, a lot of people have said, well, you have to be consistent, and if you're going to try to sell to stores, you have to.
I'm not consistent.
And you're still having success with that, huh?
Well, because the only consistency is provided by the market itself. Every farmer can't produce everything all the time, and have so some guy might be in between crops of zucchini, then he doesn't have it. So what's the store not going to buy it from him ever because he doesn't have it this one time? No, they know that. I give some to soup kitchens.
Oh, you do?
And I give it away sometimes to people that need it.
Okay.
And then, of course, I feed my whole family. My aunt, my sisters, my cousins. They all mooch.
Nice.
No, I'm happy to see it get used,
Yes, yes.
And, of course, I feed the microbes in my compost pile.
Oh, I like that.
I feed them every day.
Nice. Ready for my final question?
Well, I got to tell you that we're all composters, We're all walking compost machines.
You mean like humans?
Yeah. Well, what do? You eat it and you compost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well.
So when you think of it, that's what it is. Yeah. Sure. Your final question.
All right. I'm picturing my outhouse out here, Peter, and I'm thinking, I'm not putting that in my compost, I got to tell you. But I did have a guest on who was talking about, what was it? I can't remember, but something that they were using to compost, like, dog poop and stuff, somehow they were getting rid of that in their yard.
Yeah, the trouble with that is if you're giving your dog, like, a flea medicine or something, and it's systemic, that gets into your compost.
Oh.
Horse manure is a problem with having, drugs getting, actually not drugs, weed killers.
Right, right.
Getting through and actually being not really thoroughly composted or something, or not at all, and it's affecting crops.
Right.
Yeah, so
yeah. Trying to find animals that are being fed hay that's not weed-free. Which, for me, I have to wrap my head around that. Like, weed-free hay, I'm thinking, something free. I'm thinking it's chemical-free, but actually weed-free means they are putting chemicals on it. And so you have to find horses or cow manure where the animals aren't being fed that weed-free hay. And I think that's kind of double speak. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and I have to ask, I was buying straw or hay from somebody, and they were growing it themselves, but then they said they had to get some from somebody else. And I said, well, do you know if they use, if they sprayed the hay? And then the guy did the diligence, and he called the guy, and he said, yeah, the guy sprayed it with 2,4-D.
Oh.
I said, I don't want it,
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does go through. Not everything gets metabolized. And actually, sometimes the metabolites can be worse than the actual chemical. You know, what a chemical changes into. Like, I remember reading an article saying that DDT metabolized into DDE. And actually, the DDE might have been worse to the environment than the DDT. Now, I'm not sure about, you know, I'm not telling you that it's 100% truth. This is what I read, and this is what I recall I read years ago. And I know that people take drugs, and dogs and horses get drugs for worms. And so that's a big problem with compost. So you got to know where you're getting it from. So let me hear the last question before I pass out here.
Okay, I know. This is going to be my longest interview ever. All right, here we go. And it's a long question. Ready? So if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel, Peter, is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either in your local area or on a national or global scale?
I think, well, I'm not sure my answer is going to be like the right answer, or if I think about it, I might change it. But mainly, people have to be educated and believe science. You know, that, and not in the science backed by my money, my profit.
I think that's the perfect answer.
Yeah, so education is like probably the most important thing. And the other thing is that maybe there's like, I think I read that someone was manufacturing a chip, which they could put into people's brains, which would give them a lot of common sense. this is a joke. if you just go by common sense and read about things, like I said before, if you don't need it, why use it?
Right.
If you think it's going to make your life easier, believe me, there's a catch.
Nice.
In other words, one problem solved creates another problem, or maybe several other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, but basically, education is the important thing, and people are, you know, reading about it and seriously thinking, and not just following their like emotion. Like, just take, for instance, like burning a lot of wood. I mean, if you're doing it to keep warm, that's one thing. But if you're doing it just for, or, you know, just for your pleasure to watch a fire.
Right. Like, I went to a bar in New York City in the middle of the summer, and down in their basement with the air conditioning blaring, there was a fire in the fireplace.
Right.
That was unnecessary.
Right. Yeah, well, there's a lot of unnecessary things.
Yes.
And my hope would be that through education and research, that, like I said before, organic farming would cease to exist as a separate entity. So all farming would be sustainable.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and basically following organic practices, which I think, you know, I think we're capable of doing.
Yes. Well, we certainly are.
I mean, we look at all these crazy chemicals,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we think help. And now we're seeing that there's a lot of problems associated with them. Of course, many of the problems we haven't been able to quantify either. I mean, you don't know. You can't say how chemicals have affected the healthcare system. How much disease has it caused? You know, that we have to pay for.
Right. Exactly.
So there you go.
All right. How about an inspirational tip to motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Yeah. And it's very peaceful in the garden also. Even on the farm, it can be peaceful.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to let you go, that's Peter. Cool.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much for being my special Father's Day episode.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Oh,
happy Father's Day this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. And hey, listen, you know, you don't want your kids eating something that might hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't have to.
Nope.
So that's another thing. Being a parent is want to take care of your kids and the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think science and research can find, you know, the ways are there. We just have to, if you get industry to change their theories about making money. In other words, they can make money at other things besides things that might hurt us. Of course, anything can hurt you. I mean, you can just say, you know, driving a tractor could be dangerous. But, you know, everyone knows what we mean about chemicals. So.
Well, we'll get you a seatbelt for your tractor.
Yeah, I have one. I don't wear it. Oh, yeah. Well, nice talking to you, and good luck with your podcast.
Thanks, Peter. You have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Hey, everyone. Jackie Beyer here, host of the Organic Gardener Podcast. I just wanted to encourage everyone, if you haven't already signed up for our 2015 Gardening Challenge, to go ahead and do it. We'll probably keep it open through the end of June and then probably close it down about July 1st. Surely everybody will have everything in the garden by then. I know I'm always looking at the nurseries for flowers to still plant petunias and things by them, but, you know, that's me. They're almost always sold out. So think about, what vegetable, what fruit, what flower do you want to plant enough of for a whole season? And we're just saying like 2 or 3 months. You know, do you want enough carrots to feed your kids or enough broccoli to, you know, feed your household for the summer or enough apples on a fruit tree? What would you plant that would feed your household for one season this year? We're just going one short season, 2-3 months if you pick lettuce. I think if you planted it now, you'd still have enough for a good 2 months. So think, you know, are we going to eat a salad every night? How many heads of lettuce? What would that cost us? And then, you know, are you going to buy a pack of seeds? And then get it in the ground and let us know. You can, I got an even easier Gmail account. So it's just orgpodcast@gmail.com. O-R-G for organic, orgpodcast@gmail.com. You can email me. You can go to our website. I think you can even go to organicgardenerpodcast.com now. But just in case, awesomemontana.com will get you there. AwesomeMontana. That's just my website with, you know, it's got my artist links and some other things up there. And then go to Mike's Green Garden, the Organic Gardener Podcast, right on top. Should say 2015 Garden Challenge. So go to the awesomemontana.com website or email me at orgpodcast@gmail.com. orgpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us, you know, just your first name or username, your how many people are in your household, what fruit, vegetable, or flower are you going to grow? Like, what part of the country do you live in, you know? Are you, what state, or are you out of the state, somewhere else in another country? How cool would that be? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Any feedback about the podcast? I'm so glad you enjoy it. The downloads are just amazing. Everybody's comments have been so supportive. I just can't thank you enough. So have a great day. Jackie Beyer here, signing off. Let's get growing.